Chapter 3. The outpost was bigger than it appeared from the outside. Built directly into the rock, it had three doors on either side of the main hallway, which ended in a common room larger than Saw's shuttle. He stood in the hallway a moment, as if considering his options. Then he opened the door immediately to his right. It was an old office and had obviously been used for storage.
"This do?" he asked.
Jin wasn't sure what he meant, so she just nodded. He led her down the hallway. Jin looked at the other closed doors curiously, but he didn't pause. The large common room seemed to be half cave, with a stone ceiling curving up. Jin didn't like it at all. It was too much like the cave she'd hidden in. A long table stood in the center, and cabinets had been built into the wall. Saw set Jin down at the table and opened a can of nutritive milk for her. From her seat, she watched as he went back to the hall, to the first room, and started clearing stuff away. He worked quickly, his beefy arms straining as he lugged a desk into the hallway, then several crates.
"You should get a droid,"
Jin called down the hallway when Saw stopped to swipe at his sweating brow. Back on Coruscant, Jin had had a Mac V droid, who took care of her sometimes and kept the apartment clean. Papa liked to complain that he wasn't nearly as efficient as Mac V had been, so Mama had to help him with the dishes.
"I dislike droids," Saw said in a low voice before turning and stomping down the hallway.
Jin scurried after Saw, following him into the first room on the right. Inside were a half dozen beds, each with a thin mattress and a blue blanket. Saw handed her a blanket and pillow from one of the beds, and Jin thought that meant she would be sleeping there. But instead, Saw picked up the mattress from the frame and carried it down the hall to the little office by the front door. He plopped the mattress on the floor, and when Jin just stood there, he took the blanket and pillow from her arms and put them on top of the mattress. Saw had cleared out most of the other furniture and the crates that had cluttered the little room, but he'd left a small table and an old data pad. As he straightened the mattress on the floor and draped the blanket over the end, it finally dawned on Jin that this was her room. A dusty, tiny room with a mattress on the floor. She wasn't even worthy of the larger room down the hall that was already set up with beds. No, this was her room. It was so pitiful that Jin wanted to cry. This was nothing like her room in Coruscant, sleek and filled with the highest tech toys available. It wasn't even like her bedroom on Lamu, cramped, but homey and filled with the little dolls Mama had made for her. But when Jin turned to see Saw's face, she swallowed her dismay. He looked so anxious for her approval that all she could do was whisper her thanks. When Jin awoke the next morning, everything seemed too dark. There were no windows. The air smelled funny, musty, not crisp. Her heart thudded as she tried to wrap her mind around the disorientation of waking up in a place that wasn't home. Jin rubbed her eyes. They were dry and scratchy. And then she remembered that she'd been crying. And then she remembered why. Her stomach churned, acid rising in her throat. She couldn't push back the memories of the previous day. The sound of Mama's body falling lifeless to the ground. The waiting for someone to save her while she hid in the cave. But that wasn't true. She hadn't been waiting for someone. She'd been waiting for Papa. He was the one who was supposed to have saved her, not Saw. A flare of rage washed over her, surprising in its intensity. She had never felt anger like this before. And even though she knew in her heart that it wasn't fair to blame Papa for not being able to save her, she held on to the emotion. It was better than the sorrow that threatened to drown her. There was no sign of Saw when she opened the door to her room and peeked into the hallway. Her stomach ached with hunger. She wondered if she should knock on the closed doors and find Saw, but instead, she made her way to the common room and found another can of nutritive milk from the same cabinet Saw had opened earlier. She sipped it alone at the table. Idly, she looked over the different things Saw had left there. He was a little messy. The empty can of nutritive milk she'd drunk the night before was still on the table, as well as other trash. But one side of the long table was used for Saw's work. It reminded Jin of the way her father worked. Organized chaos, he called it. There were transparent sheets of star charts and schematics of Imperial ships jumbled together. But it seemed as if Saw had swept most of that aside. There was a data pad in a mostly cleared area, and Jin saw notes Saw had been making about crystals. He'd marked down certain planets, some of which Jin knew her father had researched as well. Jin touched a holocube on the table, and her father's face lit up, floating in front of her. Jin looked around guiltily. She didn't want Saw to think she was a snoop. But Saw was nowhere to be seen. He's in one of those rooms, she thought, looking at the half dozen closed doors. Or maybe outside. She slurped the milk from the bottom of the can. He didn't leave me. She set the can on the table. I'm not alone. I'm not. It was very, very quiet. Saw? Jin said in a small voice. She didn't want to wake him if he was sleeping. Saw? She said again, louder. No doors opened. She pushed her chair back from the table, metal grating on stone. Could he have taken his shuttle and flown away, leaving her there with nothing but ration cubes and whatever Rians were? Jin's heart raced, and she went from door to door down the hallway, no longer caring if she disturbed Saw. An angry Saw was better than no Saw. Most of the doors were locked, and the few that weren't contained nothing but cobwebs and broken furniture, obviously piled up when Saw was clearing the outpost for his own purposes. Jin was starting to get more panicked, and she was actually trembling by the time she reached the door that led outside. It zipped open, and although she didn't see Saw, she heard him. Jin crept around the boulder to where the comm tower was laying on its side. Saw had hung up various droids, a mishmash of tall, skinny, metallic bodies, by their necks all along the rusty struts, and he alternated between using his blaster and attacking the dead droids in hand-to-hand combat. Saw was big and old and scarred, but when he fought, he came alive in a way Jin hadn't thought possible. He lunged at one droid, slamming into it so hard its body shuddered on the metal scaffolding. He spun out quickly, leveling his aim at a droid hanging farther down and firing his blaster. Without waiting to see if his shot hit, it did. He ducked down and rolled away, ending near some rocks that he used for coverage as he fired three more shots into three more droids. Their bodies clanked on the metal tower, their empty shells dancing with the force of the shots. Saw? Jin asked. Saw stood up, sweat streaking his bald head, rolling along the ridge of the scar on his face. He stood there, waiting for her to speak. It wasn't until that very moment that Jin realized why, when the Empire was coming and the troopers were closing in, her mother had calmed Saw. It wasn't because he was their friend, although that had been part of her reasoning. It was because of this.
Can you teach me how to fight like that? Jin asked.
Darling, he said, grinning. That's the plan.
There were, apparently, a lot of droid bodies on Rhee.
Clone Wars, Saw said by way of explanation.
But Jin knew it was more than that. The battle droids and BX series commandos were from the old war, but there were some new models as well. A prototype enforcer droid all in black, a shiny CB-3 that had been modified hastily, and even an IGRM war droid that looked fairly new. All of them were broken, their cybernetics cracked or removed entirely. The droids were nothing but shells, but Saw had notes scratched into each metallic body, quick little comments about weaknesses or uses of the droids, environments where they thrived or failed, and targets. Saw had taken bright orange paint and slopped it on each droid's body to mark where best to strike or shoot. At first, Saw just tied the droids up along the inside of the fallen comm tower. He had Jin run the gauntlet, striking as many droids as possible. Soon after, he started to make it more complicated, using ropes to swing the droids around, throwing rocks and sticks at her to simulate battle strikes. Sometimes, he would don a hollow droid head like a helmet and attack her himself.
"I thought you said the Empire doesn't use droids as much anymore," Jin said one night as they chugged nutritives.
She pulled the can away from her lips and glared at it. She could have made something tastier, but Saw didn't like the hassle of food. Saw grunted.
"The Empire learned how to fight in a war against droids," he said. "Droids and clones. It helped them to forget that war is about people."
Jin set her can down on the table. She was still hungry. She had been hungry ever since the day her mother died, and nutritive milk never filled her the way real food did. Nothing but grassroots stew and roasted sky corn and warm, crusty bread and Nerf milk cheese would help the emptiness in her belly. And she wasn't going to get any of that anytime soon. If ever again.
"Droids are sometimes harder to fight than people," Saw continued, his voice contemplative. "They can be like hive insects, sharing the same mind, the same commands, able to work both individually and as a unit. You can't think about taking out just one at a time. You have to think about how to wipe out the masses as well."
He leaned toward Jin, jabbing one stubby finger at her, his chair squeaking in protest.
"Or you have to take out the one giving the commands. Kill them all, or kill the head."
He shrugged.
"Same difference."
Jin fiddled with her empty milk can. She liked spending her days learning to fight. When she was sparring, she didn't have time to think about how much she missed her life from before. But she was also worried. She knew she wouldn't be with Saw for the rest of her life.
"I should be learning," she said softly.
Saw looked confused.
"Learning? Am I not teaching you?"
"Not math and history and science," Jin said. "I should..."
Her voice trailed off.
"Mama used to teach me."
She thought about the lessons they had shared, the way Lyra had turned baking into chemistry class, or the way Galen had taught her about crystalline spectrometers. An emotion Jin didn't recognize flashed over Saw's face. Before she could ask him about it, he pushed away from the table and went down the hall toward her room. He came out a moment later with the old data pad. Jin had never even bothered to turn it on in all the days she'd been with Saw. But he touched the side now, and it lit up as he passed it to her. She turned it over in her hands, looking at the features. A low-light holo projector and a networking card that would connect her to the holonet.
"I'm teaching you everything I can," Saw said. "Anything else you want to know? You have to teach yourself."
Her gaze drifted from the data pad in her hands to the scarred, rough knuckles of his.
"Okay," she said. "Can I go to my room now?"
Saw blinked in surprise.
"Of course. You can go anywhere you want. This is your home.
Jin made sure her bedroom door was closed before curling up on the mattress on the floor. It was so quiet and dark. Before her mother had sent Jin to the cave to wait for Saw, Lyra had given Jin the Kyber crystal necklace and told her, "Trust the Force." Then she'd said, "I'll be there." Jin had taken that to be her mother's promise that she would find her in the cave. But for a moment, Jin wondered if it meant something different. If she had been saying she'd be in the Force. Jin sat in the center of her bed, her legs crossed, and closed her eyes. She focused on the silence and stillness of her little room. She willed herself to feel the Force. If there was anyone who could help her now, could help her reach her father, it was Mama. She waited for the Force to prove that it was real. It did not. Jin pulled the blanket over her head, then reached for the data pad. She booted up the Imperial HoloNet broadcast. The dim blue light filled her room, and she turned the sound on low, certain Saw wouldn't want her to be listening to the enemy. With every new story, Jin wondered if she'd hear something about her father. Surely Galen Erso's capture would be newsworthy. She just wanted to see him again. But there was nothing.